This is My First Ride, a podcast asking all sorts of questions about firsts, from innocent moments to adult events. You might want to bear that in mind if there are younger ears around.
I just came in here to podcast. Now you get all these lights on me, I don't know. What's going on, man, talking
That's
about?
The intro, aren't you?
So close to your microphone.
All right, lads, you ready?
Yes.
Never.
So, this is the podcast asking all about the big firsts in our lives.
A whole lot of firsts and some surprising answers.
So it was an American lad who booked us. He was like, I loved all your stuff on craft beer. We were like, man, we've never done anything on craft beer. We're fairly sure on research that it was File Arms and Hog videos he was watching.
Oh, no.
My first ride with Laura and Emma.
So the podcast is obviously called My First Ride. And what does everyone need for their first ride? Johnnies. And guess what? We've got two of them. It's the two Johnnies. I'm like absolutely delighted with that. So I hope you all appreciated it.
I like that segue. That was a nice introduction.
So just for everybody listening at home, we have got Johnny Smacks and yes. Johnny B. Tipman. Because I think it's just I'm going to go by your Instagram handles all the time.
Wow. Okay.
I am more than my Instagram handle.
Listen, you live up to your Instagram handle though as well. So
I am from Tip.
You are from Tip.
And a man.
And a man.
So I'm a boy.
Johnny B. Tip lad.
Yeah, I'm a man child.
Anyways, we've got the two Johnnies on the podcast today. And just so that we don't cause a riot in the studio, myself and Emma are going to take a Johnny each.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going to take Johnny Smacks.
Okay,
she's going to take Johnny B.
Right.
Purely because of the hair colour.
Yeah. That was
the brunettes together, the blondes together.
Okay. Yeah, it could be a disaster, but we'll just see how we go.
Well, as they say in Taken, good luck.
So, Johnny Smacks, yes. I'm going to kick it off with you. I want to know, what is your very first memory?
Oh, my God. Coming out of the womb with a hurl in my hand. No, I'm joking. One of my first memories is like the World Cup in 94.
Seriously?
Like, yeah, so I'm only three. That's some memory. At that moment, I can remember standing in my nanny's kitchen looking at like some sort of a match. And for some reason, you know that song, Tom Petty, Won't Back Down?
Yeah.
That's like, I can hear that. That is my first memory. That's
Give us a rendition.
Well, I won't back down. That's all you're getting. Yeah. But people will remember that.
And I'll keep that world from dragging me down.
Oh God, we've got another album coming live.
Back down.
Yeah.
I'm totally getting involved in this.
But actually, yeah, that's my first memory. It's not hilarious.
I think everyone's first memory is in around three or four. I don't think anyone's first memory is actually hilarious, to be honest.
Yeah, I just want to say as well, another memory I have was I got thrown out baby infants one time for drawing. Do you know when you figure out how to do 3D boxes?
Yeah.
I figured that out in baby infants and I'd done it on red crayon on the floor of baby infants and Ciara Ryan ratted me out. So if Ciara Ryan is listening, I've never
I don't understand why they kicked you out, because to me that shows you were quite advanced.
Yeah,
and they
exactly.
should have just helped you with that and, you know, used you as an example for the other kids.
I probably should have done it on a page and not the carpet.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know.
You're still using different surfaces though. I mean, it shows initiative.
It's creative. Yeah.
Different medium. You know, you've gone on to be a street art aficionado in later days. So
there you go.
Joke's on Ciara Ryan.
Yeah.
Johnny B, do you remember your first memory?
No, I'll make one up if you want.
I'll go for it.
The earliest memory I have, as far as I can remember, is sitting up on the kitchen table and then my sister came over and I threw me dinner at her and she's never let me live it down.
What, did you actually throw your dinner at her?
Yeah.
He was 17.
Plate and all.
It was me Debs.
What was your dinner?
It was always spuds. Always spuds in our house.
Staple Irish food.
Yeah, you'd cook the spuds of a Monday and then on Tuesday you'd still have the spuds, but you just heat them up in the microwave. You'd hotten them. As my grandmother would say, can't you hotten a spud?
But you know what's great about a spud? If you stick it into the frying pan. Have you had that? Stick your leftover spuds into the frying pan.
With
whatever you have. And just fry it up. Unreal. Yeah,
that didn't happen until I was at least a teenager in our house.
They hadn't those advances.
Well, thank God. Imagine a fried spud coming at your sister's head. I don't think she'd appreciate it too much. Mash now, you can deal with.
Secondhand spuds in Johnny B's house.
Yeah. We patched things up eventually.
Johnny Smacks, you talked about your first day at school. And I'm guessing in or around your first time in school was drawing 3D boxes. So, Johnny B, do you remember your first day at school?
I do. And my dad dropped me off. He had a little blue hatchback Suzuki. I'll never forget it, boy. It was the oddest looking car ever. And he dropped me off baby infants. And I was sitting beside a fella named Trevor. And I thought, that's an odd name. But we went for it anyway. And
poor Trevor.
It was mixed class, because then I ended up going to Incare, like you'd have the boys' school, and then the girls would be down the hill, you know, in later life, and you'd be, someone had boot a football down into the girls' school, you know what I mean? You felt like Indiana Jones going off, like, where were you? He was in the girls' school. Did you see any real life girls? Yeah, I chased one. You know, it was the game back then. And one of my earliest memories in school was you'd play Kiss Chase.
Yeah.
Which obviously isn't very woke nowadays.
Yes. I was a big fan of Kiss Chase though.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Did you guys do, you got, when they caught you, you got to choose between a kiss or a tickle? Both sound very perverted. Is that just a thing with us?
You must have been to a very woke school, Emma.
I remember being caught out. Like, they're all shouting, "No, we're going to play Kiss Chase." And then I had my back to the door and I shouted and the teacher came in and everyone was quiet. And it was like in a song where the music stops and it was just me saying, "Do you want to play Kiss Chase?"
Question for both of you. When was the first time you became friends?
Probably 2010, I'd say.
I remember you were living with a few of the boys and I was over at the gaff some Sunday morning or whatever, and your mother had come down to visit you.
Okay.
Probably right, dropping off washing.
On a Sunday morning.
And she said to me, "Johnny Bay, you mind that child now?"
I'd just like to say, my mother does not talk like that.
Small bit.
She's like,
"Johnny, you mind that child now. Mind that child." And I said, "Trish, I'll mind him for you." And I did.
What, still minding them.
We're minding each other
now at this stage. Yeah, that probably was it. But no, the first time I met Johnny was like in Clonmel on a night out, and he had like a ponytail.
Mm. Did you?
Right down the middle of his back, and it came to just above his arse. But this night I met him, he had it like untied, and so I thought, like, that's not a bad arse. 2:30 in the morning in a nightclub, what are you going to do? So I walked over like, and I kind of, you know, nudged again, and then like turned around and he looked like Jesus Christ. And I was like, "Oh, me and you will do." But no, he needed a lodger and I needed a place to stay. So I moved in with him pretty quick. We didn't even know each other a whole pile, yeah.
I remember thinking that Smacks always wore shorts.
Yeah.
Even in the depths of winter.
Yeah. Going into RT is probably about the only time I'll put on a pair.
Ah, get the legs out.
You get away with anything here.
I did have the legs out Monday, in fairness. Yeah, I did. Everyone was buzzing.
Oh, big pair of calves looking up at me.
Calfzilla, lad.
Yeah.
Can I ask then, so you moved in together, so how did the two Johnnies come to be?
I was in a band, doing all that band stuff, and I got asked to do MD for our local pantomime, and I was like, nah. But then I went home, and I was thinking, gee, Smacks is very funny. He should do something. You'd never been on stage, really.
No.
And I was like, he should just do something. So I said...
Were you doing nothing at the time?
Me?
Yeah.
He was on the door. I took do nothing to a whole new like extent. Like, I was watching loads of episodes of Love Hate. I hadn't seen the first three series. I caught up on that. I watched all of Law and Order, every episode that was ever made of it. I was doing absolutely nothing, yeah.
I was quite happy
to be doing it as well, I'll be honest.
You were doing minus.
Yeah, I was doing minus, but I was still going out on weekends. I was stretching the dole money to the max. I was getting 144, and I swear to God, on a Tuesday, I wouldn't have a cent in the bank account. I rinsed everything. And I was just having the crack, yeah. And then Johnny came home one evening and was like, "Would you go into the panto?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, sure. If the two of us like are in it, we'll do it." Like, and then so we went back and we're like, "Yeah, look, we'll do a little sketch in it while they were changing the props in the background. We'll come out in front of the curtain, do 5 minutes, and we wrote 5 minutes."
So that was what, 10 years ago?
It's probably 7. And then we'd done that, and everyone around the town was like, "That was great." And then we'd done nothing for another year, and then we'd done 5 more minutes in the panto,
and done nothing for another year.
Done nothing for another year, and then the following year, our GA club were organising it Strictly, and we were the co-chairman.
Obviously, of the organising committee.
Oh, well, when you come out of the womb with a hurl, you're obviously going to be the chairman.
There you go. So we were like trying to organise it Strictly, and they were like, "We'll get the local lad, Jerry. He does all the local functions. You know, we'll get him to MC it." We're like, "No way, we'll MC it." And they were like, no, we're getting Jerry.
Safe pair of hands.
He's a safe pair of hands. We were like, "Please let us do it." And then we MC'd that. We got matching suits. We went full on Anton Deck. And then we done that in the March. And then in the May, we set up the two Johnnies.
That would be 2016.
2016, yeah.
And where's poor Jerry now?
Jerry's still going. He's still doing the Fair of Care and a few gigs around the place. He's still a safe pair of hands.
I was going to say he's solid.
He's still solid.
And he probably doesn't charge as much as you two do now. So.
Definitely not. We're so expensive.
Johnny B, you mentioned Kiss Catch earlier. Kiss Chase and whatever you call it, wherever you're from. I called it Kiss Catch. Do you remember your first kiss? Was it playing that or was it something a bit more special?
Well, I just, anyone who's played against me in hurling will know I've no pace. So I never caught any of the girls in Kiss
Chase. Still trying.
I had to, a bit of pulling the jersey and that. I had to wait until Irish College. down in somewhere in Cork. I'll never forget it. And she was from Clare. And she wasn't too bad. And it was one of those proper will you shift my friend scenarios.
Listen, why does everybody get embarrassed about the will you shift my friend? We graduated.
I still do it.
Do you know what we did for a while? So we did will you shift my friend until you got to college, and then when you were a bit ballsier you went, my friend wants to know if you'll shift me. Straight in.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah.
In college you were still asking.
Yeah.
Oh no, we had graduated from that by then.
Well, no, like I mean, if you were really desperate and you really wanted the shift, you had to have an opening line some way.
Just give him the eyes.
That works.
Anyways, yeah. Johnny B, I'm sorry. Go on.
We've got a mate who's recently single, so if either of you want to shift him,
he'll be more than happy. Honestly,
I'll take him. Yeah. I'll take him. Listen, times are hard.
So my first shift, sorry.
Yeah.
Fairly Cat Melodian. Yeah, it was around the back of a caravan. It was a nice caravan. Okay, they were using it as part of the Irish College.
So was it a prefab or was it a caravan?
I don't know.
Could have been a prefab.
I'd say a prefab now.
Could have been. It looked like some sort of a tram that had been abandoned and didn't last long now. So you wouldn't know what to be doing with your teeth and your gums and your hands. I don't know. It was like being hooked and hurling or something. I couldn't get my teeth in. So I didn't know what I was doing.
You know
doing.
You don't kiss with your teeth though. That's he not still doesn't know how that. It works.
I picked that up. After a while, you know.
Johnny Spax, your first kiss.
My first kiss was the last day of sixth class. And I was mad about this girl for like the whole of primary school. And then on the last day, I was like, oh, I wonder will she shift me? Because like the last day of sixth class, we all cycle to school.
Yeah.
And then like everyone shifts afterwards. It's like an unwritten rule. And I was like, I hope she shifts me. So we walked down to like everyone in my class, walked down to the woods behind the school. And I was like, yes, this is going to be it. And I turned around and then she was walking off with another lad and I was like heartbroken. And then she came back from shifting him and I was like, will you shift me now? And she said, yeah. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I don't care about sloppy seconds. My little young heart had yearned for 6 years for this girl.
All got cold sores.
Yeah. So I went and shifted her.
Fever.
Yeah. I shifted her and it was still magic in my eyes. She probably not great for her.
You
but
taste
I mean,
your man's lunch.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I can taste your man's ham and cheese sandwich.
Has he been eating Monster Munch?
Carton of milk.
Did you part ways then, or did you have any follow-up shifts?
No, there wasn't much shifting done after that. But that lad, I'm sure we'll get to it later on. He comes back into the situation later on. So we'll get to that later on.
I look forward to hearing about that.
Do you guys remember the first fight you had together? Like, we're working together, you're friends. They're everybody has fights.
No.
Never had a fight.
Honestly.
Something wrong with you?
No, I swear to God. Well, we're brutally honest with each other. Like.
So I was going to say, me and Emma as well. It's the only way you actually can work together.
It's pointless otherwise. You'd end up just, like, if we didn't chat to each other or be honest with each other, we'd end up killing each other because obviously we spend so much time together. Mm. So, like, if we do a show, he might go to me, like, oh, you weren't great enough tonight. Like, or, why'd you say that? Why'd you say that? Like,
You weren't just good as me tonight.
Yeah, he won't be like, oh, you were bad at it. He was like, why did you say that way? And I'm like, oh, here we can go now. But I know, like, I know what he's on about. And he knows when I'm in a bad mood. Because there's times I'll come in, like, when I'm in a bad mood, everyone's going to know about it. I don't care who you are. Like, I nearly go into the shop and be like, do you know I'm in a bad mood today? I wear my heart in my sleeve. Like, and poor Neil, who works for Zamora or Atten, they'd be like, what's wrong with Smax? And they can just tell by the way I walk in. So I'm heart in the sleeve. But yeah, honestly, like, we're always...
Even if we're really under pressure, like, we have to get something recorded and Johnny comes into my house and if he's in a bad mood, we put everything back half an hour. Let's talk it out now because there's no point even going at it if he's in a bad mood.
Johnny's my counsellor. So yeah.
And he's often pulling me aside. We'll be working. He'll be like, stop that. What's wrong with you? I know you're in a bad mood now. I know you're in a bad mood.
Tell me what it is.
But it's so much healthier to get things out. And it's obviously why you've been so successful together, because you've gotten everything out from the get-go. Me and Emma had to have that very frank discussion with each other about 2 years ago, where we'd sit down and go, okay, because we were friends first. And going from friends first to actually working together is a huge step. Mm. And like sometimes it doesn't work. And sometimes you can get really irked at the other person. So you do just have to say, I get irked with you.
Do you know what? Though, most people in this industry, if they're working together, just fall out over money.
Yeah.
And like that is the be on end all of it. Like it is with duos or bands or anything like that, they always fall out over money. So that's
why.
You have
to look at the people who are successful, like CU2, they don't argue about small things, like everything is split four ways, you know?
Yeah.
That's the only way to do it. You can't be like, I did this, and then you go, oh, well, I did that. Like,
we'll argue 60-40. For our money. I take 60%, she takes 40%.
Argument for money is good. Yeah, that's pull the head off someone if they didn't pay us.
So, Johnny B, do you remember the first time that you got into trouble?
I used to go to school, secondary school, on the back of my mate's motorbike.
What?
Yeah, my mate Gonzo had a motorbike.
Gonzo?
He'd
Was he called Gonzo because he was Gonzo as soon as he got on the bike?
No, from the...
The Muppets.
The Muppets. He had a big nose.
Poor guy.
I didn't think so, but the boys called him Gonzo. And he had a 125. And he's picked me up. And the helmet, he had a proper helmet and all himself. And then the one for me had no face guard, so it just came down to the chin. Just stopped like mutton chop sidelocks. You know? So you looked like Rodney out of Only Fools and Horses. Looked scandalous. And then we were bombing it through town and like a load of books fell out of my school bag and the guards were behind us and they were like, you can't. You just can't be doing this. And they let us off. It's down the country, like no one really... You know,
no, I absolutely get that, but I just don't understand how you were let on the back of a motorbike.
She was about 2 miles to school, like just up and away.
Oh my God, my heart. Do you know what the thing about it is? When I hear about motorbikes here, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe anybody would get it. I went to Thailand for like 6 weeks and I was like, woo, yeah, I can drive a motorbike. I have no license or anything. And they let you away with it. They don't care. They're like, can you put down a deposit? I'm like, absolutely no problem. And then you come home here and you're like, scandalous behavior. Absolutely scandalous.
I want to get a moped.
Mopeds are cool though.
Yeah, I'm going to get like a Vespa. And
a Vespa.
And everyone will be like, oh, that's good. Smax is having his midlife crisis earlier than expected. Yeah.
A little pink Vespa.
Yeah, that'd be nice for me.
Johnny Smax, do you remember your very first job?
Oh, yeah. My first job was as a butcher.
Stop the lights.
Yeah, I was like 15. And your man, who was like my boss, he used to make me like clean under the counter with a toothbrush. I could have done it with a yard brush, but he used to just make me do it with a toothbrush. So yeah, that was my first job and I swore, oh my God, I need to like put in the work in school because I never want to do this again. And then my professional job before the two Johnnies, butchering.
I was going to say, was he really mean or was it just that you were actually shockingly bad at your job?
He was mean. I was lazy. I didn't want a job. I ended up doing that full time. Yeah, that was grim. The uniform was particularly not sexy. If you're trying to impress like... You know, the other half, like potential other halves, being dressed in whites and like a hat on like Fred Elliott that used to be in Carnation Street, it's grim enough. Yeah.
I mean, there could be a caliber of people out there that do go for it.
Oh, you're like a man in uniform.
Yeah, but like that's like a cop or in the army, not a butcher. Yeah, that was my first job. And
wasn't one of the lads in the YMCA crowd a butcher, no?
I don't think so.
I know some people get strippers who are butchers. Don't they? We didn't know that.
Do they?
It's a big cleaver, man. Left it out on the table.
I've got this weird thing where I actually really like the smell of a butcher's. Do you know when you go into the butchers and like the smell of the like the raw meat?
Oh,
you get weirder and weirder every day. I'm empowered. Like
after a couple of years smelling it, you know, it's just. It's
Emma went
nice.
Off meat for absolutely ages. Like wouldn't touch it at all. I used to try and put her on night out, and I'd be like, "Go on, have some chicken nuggets. You know you want them." She'd be like, "No, I'm not doing it." And the day she actually gave in and like gorged on meat, I think you were sick for a week. But now you'll never look back.
I think it's actually no
smell of a butcher's.
Yeah. I don't think it's that abnormal.
I have PTSD. I can't. If I smell it, I just go into spasm. So I can't go back there.
Okay, moving on.
What was your first job, Johnny B?
Part-time as a young fella. Lad in Kerry used to make slithers.
Oh, deadly.
And my job was the big sheet of leather. And you got a thing like you were punching a hole in like...
In a sheet of leather.
Just like
pastry or something. And you just... All day, you put it in, and then you swung the clamp, and it punched out a piece of leather, and then you did that all day.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, no, it didn't last long. Went absolutely insane in the membrane. But sure, growing up in my house, you may as well have a full-time job. My father and my neighbours and all, they loved mixing cement. They'd be out at the weekends, there'd always be something that needed cement. They'd be making paths across fields, and some neighbour would be like, oh, jeez, you see Teresa's wall? I'd say we'd be as well off knock it and build a new one. It's bad. My neighbour was a legend. He was an owl lad, like, and I'd be there and obviously not wanting to mix cement, like, and he'd be there and he'd go down to the cement and he'd pick up a bit and he'd pretend to eat it and be like, no, I need more sand, I'd say, you know what I mean? He'd make the old job fun, like, so that's my early memories of work. That's what you have to say it, like, that's me. I was working.
Working.
Make it sound hard.
It always sounds so funny when she tries to put on a country accent all the time because it's
working.
Working. You're listening too much Maura Higgins. Right?
Yeah,
she's
know.
Got that.
Curtis.
Can't believe you're doing that. You're an amazing woman when it comes to makeup. It's brilliant.
Don't think it's working.
Actually, while we're here, tell us about your new show.
The Two Johnnies Take On is the new series. Yeah, so we take on like different topics and explore them. Deep dives, as they say, into topics. And one's TikTok, one is gaming.
Gaming, esports, art and street art. And then kind of all the alternative sports around Ireland that people are mad into.
my God, this sounds like so much fun. Yeah. Like, I was slagging at the start, but that does sound very interesting.
Yeah, no, great show. It is actually a good show, yeah.
You laugh your backside off.
We came up with it ourselves. We do believe in it. We do believe in it, yeah. No, it is. It's good. It's funny as well. Like, it's not, you know what I mean? It's not Louis Theroux or it's not like Vogue doing a documentary or anything like that. It's still us, like.
You don't want to tell people, you'll learn a lot. And they'll be like, I'll change channel. No, but it's like something that you could tell your mate down the pub, kind of a nuggets of knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you hear about this?
And it's a laugh as well. Jesus, it's a laugh. Yeah. People.
Monday nights, 9:30, RT2.
Mm. Where do I fit into this? Because obviously I made my 3-second... cameo.
Can
on
I just
your
have
Christmas
a 5-second
show?
Cameo, just a topper, just to shut her off.
We get another Christmas show. We get the 2 in.
Perfect. We want a full quarter.
That was on a Christmas show. That was gas. Yeah, I was sitting there Christmas Eve watching ourselves on telly. Yeah.
Emma was absolutely delighted. She came running down into the studio and she's like, "The two Johnnies want me on their television show." I was like, "Cool. Where are you going to film it?" And she's like, "Next door."
And also, you were in the best part, which was the mockumentary.
Johnny Smacks, your very first girlfriend.
I actually went out with a girl from most of secondary school. From like, we had like a second year trip to Manchester.
Oh,
and it was like, everyone's getting girlfriends for this trip. I don't know why. I don't know why, because like, it actually like, it doesn't benefit you at all. When you're going away on a trip, the last thing you want is a girlfriend. But yeah, I got together with her in second year and we were like together in a full blown relationship until around the end of fifth year.
Oh God, okay.
And then she started going out with another lad in sixth year who was the same lad who shifted your one in sixth class.
That was
so
payback.
So took your sloppy seconds.
There you go.
That's actually even better.
Circle
again.
Of life, Laura Fox. Circle of life. Bring it back. There you go. Got me on. Yeah. He's actually still going out with her now.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. So like, yeah. Maybe he's having the last laugh. I don't know. I don't know what way it works. But yeah, I went out with a girl. She was my first girlfriend. Oh, I was in love with her. Like, you know, as much as a 14-year-old man can be in love with a girl. Like, and I just ditched all my friends. I ate Ben and Jerry's with her every night of the week. Takeaways, Chinese. I, honest to God.
What kind of a teenager were you? Where were you getting all this money?
Fat. Fat as a fool. I swear to God. Like, my mother said to me once, she's like, you're going to have to stop eating Chinese like all the time at weekends. Because like Friday evening from school, I'd walk her home. We'd get Chinese. We'd have a tub of Ben and Jerry's, watch a DVD. Saturday, go downtown, have a Chinese. Just Chinese. I was lost in a love boom of Chinese and just Ben and Jerry's.
You
and
were just whacked up on MSG, lad.
Man, she just had me pumped full of sugar. But no, she's a lovely girl. And that was my first relationship. Opened my eyes. And the first heartbreak then as well is horrible. I was just sitting in the room listening to Akon, Mr. Lonely on repeat. Yeah. Shout out to any teenagers going through like their first love. Oh, it's
did she break up with you or did you break up with her?
Think she broke up with me, yeah.
Did she
it didn't end acrimoniously.
Did she dump you to get with the other guy or did she get with him after she broke up with
you? No, she dumped me.
Okay. What did
I'm not
you do?
Going into that.
Okay. Fair enough. You definitely
might
have
shifted
her
best friend, yeah. Maybe. I was an immature child, you know what I mean? Yeah. I was like 16, you know, crazy times. So, yeah.
It's the best thing to do in the whole entire world. The best friend's always game for it, really, at that age.
Yeah, but like, that wasn't my fault. She should have blamed the best friend on that.
No, she should have blamed you.
Yeah, but I was
You never blame the other woman. You always blame the actual person that you were in a relationship with.
When in reality, you should blame the friend because the friend is the one who should be more loyal to you.
Yes, Emma Power. Yeah.
To be honest, I actually think that it worked out really well. She's now still with the guy that she left you for. So these things have a way of working themselves out.
Yeah, I always wonder like what she makes of what we do now because I haven't spoke to her since we were 16.
So
like when we were touring
you?
Australia, she's out there. I bet you like she'd like see a poster and just go, oh my God. This lad is actually following me to Australia. He's making such an effort here.
You must get great satisfaction out of that though, because I even know, say, for like exes who may have been bad to me in the past, and like back then I was like, I really want to be a 2FM presenter, and they were like, yeah, whatever, you know. And now I'm like, I'm on 2FM.
Yeah.
I got there.
It is the nicest feeling in the world. It's just, it's like, ha 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 ha.
Look at us. Look at us.
You're so lucky to be doing what you love though, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the most important thing really. Yeah. Oh man, we got deep there on first love.
Johnny, are you going to join the conversation?
First girlfriend, I don't know if it's girlfriend. First time I was meeting the one, as we'd say in Tip.
Yeah.
She was me mate's sister. My mate's girlfriend.
My mate's girlfriend.
Anyway, share.
What's wrong with us? What is wrong
Sharing's
with us?
Sharing's caring.
And a bit of shifting. Started the teeth issue out. Things were going well. And then, I don't know, you just got dumped by like... One of her friends dumped me then. It was old school, in school, like, yeah.
Sorry. So her friend, she got her friend to do the dumping for her.
Mm.
That's shocking.
So, and then, like, you'd be so upset. I remember being out and about around town, like, the Fair of Care was on, all the boys, you'd be, like, walking down the mall, down the woods, just being hard, like, trying to see, could you, like, rob a can of Fanta or something, you know? And then I seen her, and she went past, and I was like, oh, well, how's it going? And she didn't say it, and I remember being distraught.
That's Hagen. Awful.
Yeah, she didn't say hello to me, man. She didn't say hello. And then Tony's like, yeah, don't worry about it, man, it's okay. And I was like, no, Tony, man, you don't understand, like, I used to go out with her.
She's the love of my life.
He's still the same after two cans of cider. No, I just want to state that for the record.
I'm not.
Hasn't quite moved on from that.
A little bit, yeah.
Do you guys remember your, well, obviously you're only friends the last few years. Can you tell us about your first holiday together?
Our first holiday together was probably, we went to New York today to gig.
But it was a holiday.
It was a holiday, yeah. We're scheduled in for two gigs.
Yeah.
We landed on a Thursday. So, like, basically, this lad flew us out. No, he flew us out to New York and we're doing two gigs in this place. And this lad was putting us up. He was like, there won't be much money, but we'll, like, food and drink and we'll put you up. We're like, yeah.
And plane tickets, like.
So. Plane tickets, yeah. We were still working at the time. So it was lucrative for us, like.
And we'd only done about, like, one or two gigs in Ireland.
Yeah, we'd only done like two gigs in Ireland.
The minute that you step outside of this country and go anywhere else, it's when everybody here starts going, jeez, did you see how well they're getting on?
Oh, yeah. And we all want sure, you then. We made sure everyone in Ireland knew we were in America. And we went out and...
Ex-girlfriends and all.
Oh, yeah. So sent her a fax. I didn't know where in the world she was.
Put up a poster outside her house.
Yeah.
Carrier Johnny's pigeon.
She'd have passed it every day.
Live in Yonkers this Friday night, in case you want
to
go.
So we rocked up to this place in New York and like we got there, pulled up to the pub, and this guy came out and was like, oh my God, I love all your stuff. So it was an American lad who booked us. And he was like, I loved all your stuff on craft beer. And me and Johnny were like, oh yeah, cheers, man. He was like, sit down, I'll get you something to eat. I'll be back in a second. We were like, man, we've never done anything on craft beer. Turns out... we're fairly sure on research that it was File Arms and Hog videos he was watching.
Oh no.
He paid for the flight at that stage, didn't he? So he was getting the show. But the Friday night we done the show, the first show, and like we told him like what equipment we needed and all that, like, and he was like, don't worry, man, everything's gonna be perfect. We got up on stage with two mics. One mic didn't work.
And the guitar
wouldn't plug into the aux. That wouldn't work either. So we ended up doing like sharing a mic and doing around 10 minutes. Now a big crowd were there to see us, like, which was strange for us. Like, it was probably
bit of a buzz. And it was like 500 people there. And you know, in America, there's like a round bar. There's a round bar in the middle of the room. And they wouldn't close the bar while we were on. So the place is absolutely lifting. So 500 Irish people have gathered in Yonkers to come see us. So they're all on a mad session.
Naturally.
And by the time we get up, I went to talk and then his mic wouldn't work. And then this was really hard to do sketches in costumes. Passing the mic over and back. And then we're like, okay, this is going really hard. But like I said, we used to be in bands and stuff. We're like, sure, we can just swag it out. Let's play a few songs, get it going. Plug in the guitar. Guitar dies. No sound. So we're like, what's the deal with sandwiches, huh? It's like guy walks into a bar.
We basically just got the mic and we're like, look, this isn't working. We're going to have a few drinks with you. And everyone's like, way. And then for the next few days, we went haywire. Seen every part of New York. We were drunk for days. And then on the Sunday, we done a proper show in that place. Did a function room. All the equipment, the whole lot. So we done a full on show and everyone enjoyed it. So all was well. That ends well. But we had some holiday.
That was the one. I think when we came home from America, Smacks was like, I'm not going back to the butcher counter.
I gave up my job like a week later.
But I mean, when you get a taste for it, it's very hard to go back to something that you're just not passionate about.
It's crazy. We were out in New York and like lads were like, I'm going to take the day off work and just bring you around tomorrow. And
that's insane.
So sound.
Yeah. And so like, I couldn't go back. I couldn't like figure out how do I go from that to like back to my normal job.
And you can't. But, and this is the type of gig as well that you can't just do it half-assed. If you're going to do it, you have to do it right. And I always think that you can't have a safety net.
No.
You actually can't be relying on a full-time job because you'll never go for it properly. Because you know, if you don't have to get a paycheck in to pay your rent and to live and to eat and all that kind of stuff, then you really don't have the proper push to go, okay, I actually have to, I have to get the money and I have to get a job. How am I going to go about this?
Yeah, full on grind. Like, after, like, I handed my notes and rocked up to his house and was like, I'm after handing my notes. He was like, that's way too early. But I couldn't comprehend, like, we'd done our first couple of gigs and we were getting paid well. And I couldn't comprehend like earning that money for 2 hours for something we liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas I'd have to work 39 hours and I was on like €320 a week. I was like, and Johnny's like, what are you going to do with your free time? I was like, nothing, but like, It's better than working for nothing. It's like, I'll do something.
But you have to be prepared to be poor for a while.
Oh, yeah.
At the start, when you're doing things, you can't be like, right, I have no safety in it now, which means I have to make money. But making money might not be your top priority.
Yeah.
You know, maybe writing.
Yeah.
Doing content.
Like, support gigs should be your thing.
For the first 9 months, like, we made no money. And that we did make, we put back in. So that's why, like, that's why the podcast ended up going well, because with the first decent paycheck we got, we bought all the kit. Rather than, like, you know, going off and buying stuff that we'd had nothing of for 9 months, like clothes and, like, looking good enough, we went and bought the equipment and we're like, maybe this would be the payoff. Yeah. It was, but
it's an investment back into your company.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. Like, so
I got you on a world tour. So.
But honestly, you'd be surprised how many people don't put it back in and are just like, oh my God, I'm after making a few pounds, I'm happy out. And they're the ones then who stand still. Like, just people added long, long before we started.
And like, you see someone doing a sketch and they're still doing it on their phone and it's all shaky and you're like, boys, like, Steadicam is 100 quid.
Yeah.
Come on now. Get a light. Get it going.
This is probably one of my favorite questions, and we're going to divvy it up a little bit different for you guys. Oh. The first time you got drunk together.
We went to Cashel one night.
And we'd never go to Cashel. We don't live in Cashel.
Yeah.
Possibly get home. Houdini wouldn't get out of Cashel at 2 in the morning.
We'd had nights out where we'd like had a few pints, but like, I think New York, we were absolutely buried. I'd say the proper time we got drunk was probably Abu Dhabi.
Oh, jeez.
The one place you don't want to get drunk in.
I was just thinking, I was like,
Oh, yeah, you don't want to get too drunk in Abu Dhabi, like, but, like, that wasn't going to stop us. So we went to Abu Dhabi, same thing. They flew us out, we'd done a show. And then, like, we had, like, 5 days of doing nothing. Now, what are you going to do in Abu Dhabi? Like, you could do loads of cool stuff, but I'm not into sightseeing. He wanted to go to a mosque. We went to, like, some sort of a, what is it?
The Grand Mosque in Abu Dhabi, you know, it's huge. Yeah. It's the biggest mosque in the world.
Load of carpets, couple of nice walls.
He's obviously the cultured one.
Yeah, I was like, right. Thank you. So I'd done that for him, and then he was like, now we'll do what you want to do. So I said, right, poolside bar. So we swam up to this bar and just, like, all day long.
Oh, they're the best bars
ever. And you don't feel how drunk you're actually getting because you're weightless.
Until you stand up and get out of the pool.
That's exactly it. So your man said to us, like, then we were like, two more. He was like, that's a new record here in the hotel.
Were you shriveled up?
We were withered.
From the legs down, we were gone.
You want us, like, your man
no
was like,
point trying to pull. It was gone. It's not.
Oh, man. But that was a proper good feeling because, like, here we were in Abu Dhabi.
All paid for.
All paid for. After doing a gig that went well.
Yeah.
And we deserved our few drinks. I think that was a wild one.
Can you tell us about your first ride?
Not together, obviously.
Unless it was together. But then
first ride.
It wasn't.
Wasn't that like, it wasn't that in, like, you know, magical. I had a free house.
It's nothing exciting for anyone ever. Like, no. When we ask people these questions, they're kind of like thinking on the spot, being like, oh God, was it supposed to be magical? But something. It never is.
Like, I wish I had a funny story about it. It was just average.
Yeah.
Was it planned? Because, you know, the way, like, normally people plan it within an inch.
Planned for, like, since the start of the relationship, around 3 years in. So I was just delighted. It's like,
it's like the invasion of Iraq. Smack said, like, a whole tactics about where each hand was going at a candle
planning
up there.
Planning it for ages,
Everybody just needs to get it over and done with. And it's just the unwritten rule. Everyone is just like, oh, let's get it out of the way and move on. And then you're like, oh yeah, look, I did that.
You're telling everyone, I had sex.
Did it.
And then, like, the older you get, it's like, oh, I can't be arsed.
I'm too tired.
Yeah, no, I have to look up something on.
So go on, Johnny B, tell us about yours.
I was going out with a girl and she was a bit older than me. She probably knew more worldly.
Well, you're more experienced.
So house party, and you know, she, like, I didn't know what to do with my legs or anything. Like, you know, like, I wish it would have been weird, but I also wish someone had kind of explained to me how to, you know what I mean, what to do with your body.
Man, you look like you're dancing like Elvis there, whatever you're doing. I hope you weren't doing that
once, like, sure. Do you know, your legs have to kind of go, like, and her legs be, you know, over you a bit, like.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Well, it all depends.
I'm aware how sex works.
I wasn't at the time.
Okay.
I understood, like, but I didn't know how to get in close enough. I didn't want to be offside or anything. So, we managed that anyway, and of course, wore protection.
Yeah, there you go.
And then it was so good that, like, afterwards, she asked me, was that my first time? To which I have to reply, like, no.
What are you talking about?
No.
Oh,
my God. Johnny Smacks, Johnny V, you have been an absolute pleasure to have on My First Ride. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us.
We're going
to
get sued.
Yeah, the name of your podcast is a bit misleading. I thought it was going to be all filth.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks for having us so much.
Oh, no, guys, that was like...
That was deadly. Thank you.
I actually had the time of my life there.
You need to get out more.
I know.